Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Around the circle.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk.
Another crossover podcast. I'm Ben Garrett. He's David Johnson. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit. He writes for Inside the Rebels. Busy weekend in Ole Miss sports. But more importantly, the last you'll hear from me for a couple days, because I'm getting the heck out of town. Hey, buddy.
Going to Harry Potter World.
I am.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah. How does Ben celebrate his 12-year anniversary? His wife says, yes, Ben, wow, I will take you to Harry Potter World. Yeah. Most people would go to the beach.
Man, how do I do my I get it. How do I do my 28th year? It'll be 28 in August.
Eat a good meal.
Yeah, I will. I always do.
That's all it is. It's at some point it stops becoming. Well, we were going to go for our 10-year in April of 2020, but what happened in April of 2020? We had this whole trip planned out to L.A. She always wanted to go back to L.A. Uh-huh. And then what happened? That was at the apex of when you're making decisions about, hey, this COVID stuff seems pretty bad. Maybe we shouldn't go.
Man, I was not making any decisions. I was in a coma in April.
Oh, God, yeah. My God, yeah, you were.
Yeah. Ugh. I definitely was.
It just got dark.
Anyway,
man. It just got dark. That's what happened to me, though. And we canceled it. And if we had actually gone on that trip, we would have gotten stuck in California. But David was on his deathbed, so that's not even remotely comparable as my non-trip to L.A. for 2 days. So, yes, that just...
That's water under the bridge. 2 years ago, man. And I feel...
Well, happy 2 years. Hey,
2 years removed.
2 years longer than you thought you were going to get, or that the doctor said you were going to get.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thought about that?
No kidding. I'm supposed to be 2 years in the ground right now.
Golly.
That's sobering thought. Yeah, 2 years.
Oh, that is crazy.
I wonder what the embalming fluid would have done to my body at this point. But anyway.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Ole Miss baseball didn't have the series. It didn't have the series result that Ole Miss baseball that it wanted against Texas A&M. Only one of two lost the series to number four Texas A&M. Goes to the SEC tournament needing to win some games. Ole Miss softball, its season is now over. They fought back, had a chance to advance, but UCLA put it on them in that final game. What happened in recruiting? I don't really know. What's the most important takeaway right now for you? Walker White was in town.
Walker White was in here over the weekend, and apparently he loves Ole Miss, had a great time.
Yeah, Chris Vezina loved Ole Miss too, though. So whenever I hear that, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We'll wait till we get closer.
Yeah, well, with Walker White, there's always the thing. Look, he's from Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay, he's a 2024 quarterback, if you don't know. Number 14 quarterback in the country per the 247 industry-generated composite index.
And for these podcast purposes, he's Ole Miss's top 1-2 target for 2024 quarterback.
Yeah, top guy. Now, he does have an Arkansas offer. And we all know how difficult it is to pull an Arkansas kid with a Razorback offer from that state. It's might near impossible. But he loves Ole Miss. He said it himself. Said it over the weekend. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing going on in recruiting right now, other than there's a little riffraff out there about Deion Smith and probably maybe not going to get that paperwork, might be going to JUCO this fall.
I'd heard a little bit of that, and the longer this is dragged out, the more it's become clear that there's something there. I just hadn't heard anything I was kind of waiting to
concrete.
See.
Nothing concrete.
Yeah. Because it's been kind of the same thing. People won't
– You know,
I
said last week on this podcast, well, I'd start worrying about the middle of June if he's not here. I'm accelerating that now that this scuttlebutt is out there about potentially going to junior college because of grades. And, you know, to be honest with you, the longer these things drag out, the less likely they are to come to fruition the way we want them to.
The conclusion usually becomes pretty clear.
Yeah, it generally does. So those probably are the two biggest recruiting stories right now. Maybe. Now, this Tucker Dorsey kid, the linebacker out of James Madison, I don't think we're nowhere near being the number one spot on his wish list.
No, I don't think so.
You know, I think we're third, fourth right now. So whether or not that happens or not, that was kind of big news last week. I think that's kind of been pushed to the background a little bit.
It's just
now, if
cold.
We find out he's coming in here for a visit.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool right now. If we find out he comes in here for a visit, he's coming for a visit, that changes everything. Those are probably the biggest football recruiting lines right now. But, hey, man, it's Hoover time, right?
It is Hoover time.
The Rebels play Tuesday afternoon.
It is.
And
there was a time when you thought Ole Miss baseball wasn't going to get there.
Yeah, no doubt they made it. But I'm still very much on the fence. I don't know where you are. I'm on the fence. I think they need to beat Vandy tomorrow to kind of lock a spot down in the NCAAs.
I don't necessarily disagree. I think that they're in the field and they're going to make it even if they lose. Having said that, you open yourself up to an upset or two kicking you out, pushing you out if you don't win. I want to say something real quick about Deion Smith. Deion Smith has been the worst-kept secret. We've talked about this before, since like October of last year, that he was going to transfer, enter the portal, and come to Ole Miss. He does that, does exactly that. He goes into the portal, only visits Ole Miss. The grade stuff is the only issue. And people have wanted like regular daily updates about Deion Smith. Here's the gist of it. He's either going to get his grades or he's not. That's it. If he does, he comes to Ole Miss. If he doesn't, he won't be a part of the team next year. And it's looking now like, I guess, because I didn't know much about, like, I didn't have anything as definitive as you, and I think Neil had something about it. Somebody put it on our board on the Ole Miss Spirit about something Neil said. I hadn't heard all that, but it's not like this has been a roller coaster of a thing to follow. It's always just been, hey, is Deion going to get his grades or not? And I know that a lot of people wanted some drama with it, or, hey, what's the latest on Deion? It's just, hey, does he get his grades or not? And if he doesn't get his grades, he's not going to be an Ole Miss Rebel. If he does, he's going to be
on the math test. Yeah, and look, I'm not saying anything definitive. I don't have anything concrete right now on that. I'm just telling you there is definitely talk out there that
– but it's been out there, hasn't there?
Yeah, but this is new stuff that maybe he came up short and is going to have to enroll in junior college. But, again – I don't have anything concrete on that, so don't hold me to it.
How does that change the dynamic of the wide receiver room more than anything?
Well, the problem, Ben, is that this late in the game, I mean, while there are still 1,000 kids in the portal, the quality's just not there. Mm. I mean, those guys have been taken. They've been sucked up. I mean, I got a call this morning from a guy I know that's on an FBS staff asking me about Mississippi JUCO receivers. You know, they're looking to kind of come into this state and try to get a possible 23 JUCO kid that could play this season at his junior college, but they're in such need, they're willing to come in and yank one. So,
wow, think about that. JUCO recruiting has kind of been pushed back, like how far JUCO recruiting. Those are the guys that suffer the most from name, image, and likeness and being able to profit off of it now. The like mid-range recruits, the three-star high school prospects that are good players, but they're not that player yet that would typically get signed. Those guys are getting left. They're not getting the same kind of offers. And now JUCOs, they're really not getting their most interest until what, June?
Yeah, well, really not until the fall. I mean, the colleges are going to wait until they put some tape, more tape out there and make sure they're 100%. You know, so it's generally September, October before you offer JUCO guys that can be there in January. But what I'm saying is, you know, these are guys that junior colleges are depending on to play this fall for them.
Oh, yeah.
That Division I schools are now going, hey, the heck with the relationship with that JUCO. We're going to have to go in and take one of their players. You know, and it's all just trickle-down effect of the transfer portal. I mean, look, your players on your roster are in no way, shape, form, or fashion ever safe from somebody else coming in. That's just the world we live in now.
The only time it's truly safe or safe-ish, because they can still leave. They still have that ability, that opportunity. But the only way it's kind of safe is if you get a kid that transferred in and use his one-year penalty-free transfer. He's more locked in than whoever hasn't used it. Fair game.
Yeah, yeah. Or a JUCO kid that can't go to a four-year school until he gets that degree. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the kids that are safe. But nevertheless, yeah, Deion Smith, I mean, look, I can't give you anything definitive, but I can tell you there are some people out there right now who think for sure he's going junior college.
It makes Jalen Robinson getting him that much more important. It already was important. They wanted multiple guys. Malik Huge. Heath is going to be here in June. They needed another dynamic guy that could step in and really contribute. Because Jordan Watkins was banged up in the spring. He was recruited to be one of those guys, but I don't think he really flashed like that yet. Not to say he couldn't, but he didn't initially.
Yeah, I agree.
Like a go-to guy.
He did not have a, you know, whether it was by injury or whatever, Jordan didn't have that, you know, quote-unquote Elijah Moore-type spring. So Jalen is huge to have in here. They're a receiver short, I think, from where they want to be, particularly if Deion Smith doesn't get here. So, yeah, I mean, you get out there and you look in the portal, but again, you've got an issue. There was a May 1st deadline, so nobody else can hop in the portal and play this fall. And all the top receivers that went in the portal, they're gone. They're not in the portal anymore. So, you know, there you
this
have
is
it.
This is not, I mean, sunshine pumping. I'm legitimately asking, are we making a little bit too much out of the lack of depth in the wide receiver room? Because they do have some guys that have been here a while. Danis Jackson now would be the top. Like Vince Sanders didn't become Vince Sanders till year three.
They have a serviceable wide receiver core right now. But, you know, as far as a stud, all-star, superstar playmaker that's going to be a second, third-round selection in the NFL draft, I don't think that guy is in that room. You know, and that's, you know, sans Michael Trigg, because, you know, I'm extremely high on Michael Trigg. And, you know, but as far as the edge receivers and everything, you know, I don't think that guy's in that room right now. Now, that guy may prove himself to be in that room this fall, hopefully. But, you know, right now I'm not sure. There's not enough evidence that one of these guys is going to bust out. Jonathan Mingo has everything you'd want him to have an incredible year. But he hasn't had that yet.
And he can't stay healthy.
So, that's always an issue, too. That was a Braylon Sanders issue.
That's right.
Braylon was one of the best wide receivers to ever come through here, but we couldn't keep him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Is there any current roster wide receiver that you think has upside to break out?
I think Jonathan Mingo could break out.
Truly break out.
You know, I'm a fan of Brandon Buckhalter, but I haven't seen Brandon, you know, show what I think he's capable of doing yet. I love his body size. You look at him in pads and you go, oh man, this guy's headed to the NFL. But, you know, we got to see him do it on the field. So there are guys in that room that I'm big on.
See, I love J.J. Henry and think J.J. Henry can be something. But then I look at the number they put on them when they first got to Ole Miss. Like Brandon Buckhalter's wearing 89. J.J. Henry's wearing 86. If you thought those guys were dudes, you wouldn't put 89 or 86 on them.
Oh, that's – I don't know where you're coming out of that, man. Come on.
I'm just playing. What is it's that? Monday. It's Monday in May.
Yeah.
I'm just having some fun.
I hear you.
I like J.J. Henry's one.
I hear you.
I think J.J. Henry's got some upside. Okay. Love Jalen Knox last year. So there are some guys. It's just you don't have a proven commodity.
Yeah, we just didn't get to see them. You know, Jalen Knox out the first half of spring with an injury, gets healthy, comes back, breaks his ankle. We don't get to see him at all. I mean, You know, that's the problem with evaluating the Ole Miss wide receiver core right now.
Hmm. Braylon Brown, too. Yeah. There are some guys that could.
But, oh, yeah. Now, look, I'll tell you. I watched Braylon Brown in fall camp last year before he got injured. The kid was – he was eating it up. He was killing it. And as a matter of fact, the play he got injured on was like a 70-yard reception from Matt Corral. And then he got up, and he was limping. And then I saw him over there under the tent crying. And I was like, oh, crap, this is terrible. And then, you know, off you go. So
there are some guys. The thing is just like you didn't want to be in this position. Deion Smith would have made you feel much more comfortable, safe about the room.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, there's something to be said about going into battle with a bunch of unknowns, with something to prove, with chips on their shoulder. And I think that's what you've got with the receivers core.
What's the hit rate on guys that have a, quote, chip on their shoulder actually proving the doubters wrong, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
Kid says that. Dude drops in the NFL draft, I got a chip on my shoulder. Okay. Neat. I hope Matt Corral goes and sets the world on fire at Carolina. But the first thing he said was, I got a bigger chip on my shoulder. You're one of the most accomplished quarterbacks in the country last year, let alone Ole Miss, a record-setting quarterback. Like, what chip do you have? No one's doubting you. You just failed at the third round.
Well, if you –
the hit rate on the whole
– football.
Yeah, yeah.
You better have a chip on your shoulder.
I just think that the whole hit rate on, well, I got a chip on my shoulder now, y'all are all going to see – it's not great. It sounds good, but it's not great. It's like every single offseason when they talk about a player is in the best shape of his life. I hate those stories.
Yeah, well, look some data up on that and get back to me.
Okay, anyway, Ole Miss baseball is going to Hoover.
Yeah.
You believe they have to beat Vandy to get in the tournament. I think so, too. Do they need to win more than just the Vandy game? Do they have to upset Tennessee to improve their positioning or anything?
I don't think so.
I
think if they take care of their business in Hoover tomorrow against Vandy, Vandy's got a very high RPI. I think they're there. I think they get in. I think you may see them get in as a 3 seed somewhere, which they'd be a tough 3 seed. But, I could see that. I could see that happening because they just haven't had a great year, obviously. But you look back on how they've been playing lately, and they've been playing pretty well. They're an NCAA tournament team. But if they lose tomorrow in Hoover, I guarantee you there's going to be some sleepless nights with Ole Miss baseball fans waiting on that selection show because nothing's going to be guaranteed.
Who's the head coach of Ole Miss baseball by the end of the summer?
Mike Bianco.
I don't believe that.
I believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it. You think he's gone.
Yeah, I do. Just the general vibe I'm getting right now from talking to some people. I don't think it'll be Mike. Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My Navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think the whole feeling of moving, or just as time, I'll say this. It's kind of driven, too, by what the reaction was and how on senior day, it did seem like a little bit of a send-off for Mike, too. A little bit.
Let me say this. I think Mike can still save his job. I do. I obviously do because, look, man, you can't make that decision without factoring in the previous 22 years. You just can't. I know everybody wants Keith to be able to do that and to just, you know, fire him. But not everybody, but most everybody. I fully get that. And you're not wrong with that way of thinking. I'm not saying that. But again, in the real world, not in the world of just being a fan, you've got to factor in the last 22 years and how he goes out, how you want him to go out, how you want to be perceived as an institution, letting him out. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, look, we look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is our everything. We know the money and the facilities and all the resources the baseball program has here. The rest of the world will not perceive it that way. They will not perceive it that way. And I know, you know, with perception, that doesn't matter. No, they won't. They won't see it that way. But, you know, I mean, Texas A&M is a prime example of an AD going, you know what, we need a change. And they made it. And look what they're doing now. I mean, Schlossnagel is kicking butt with the Aggies.
Here's my one Mike Bianco take. This is how I truly feel about it, okay? If you were going to make the change, you should have made it back in July because it gave both parties an easy out when he publicly flirted with LSU. I just thought that was a terrible look for everybody.
Well, terrible. It didn't give him an easy out because he didn't quit his job here and he had no other job to go to because ultimately LSU went a different direction.
But he's a millionaire multiple times over, so he could have taken a year off, gotten a good job this year, whenever the year was over. I just felt like it was a good way, a good excuse for both sides to basically say, hey, you know what? It's been a great run. Let's celebrate Mike Bianco. Let him go quietly into the night for a year and then come back and go coach pretty much wherever he wanted to. Because then at that time, you had Dan McDonald on the hook. That's what people don't want to truly admit here. Like, you had Dan McDonald on the hook. He would have taken that job in July. At worst, Cliff Godwin would have taken it. It would have taken 2 days to find the Mike Bianco replacement. So that was the perfect time to do it, but you didn't do it. So then you just set yourself up in this weird, awkward situation to where neither – I mean, obviously Mike still didn't want to be here because Mike went and publicly flirted with LSU. The fan base has reacted as it has. It's just a really awkward position to be in. But if you were going to do it then, I just feel like if you were going to do it then because now it's become this awkward, weird, manifested situation that is pretty untenable, to be honest with you, because I agree with you. On paper, you could easily argue, yeah, just let him keep coaching because you're getting the same results. Everything that Ole Miss baseball has as a program, I think, is where you want it to be. I think where Mike is holding it back is in-game decision-making. When he was suspended for the game at Texas A&M.
We started off this conversation with you asking me who's going to be the coach next year. Now, and I told you Mike Bianco.
Uh-huh.
Now,
do you feel good about that, that guess?
That's not an endorsement of that decision. That's a prediction of that decision. That's all that is. Advocating.
I didn't mean for it to come across that way. That's not what I was saying.
I get that. But I'm not advocating for his firing or his continuing on here.
That's not what we do. We don't really do that. Like, here's my whole thing. Is what I was saying is like everything you want Ole Miss baseball to be, it is. It's a well-oiled machine. It's competitive every single year. But I think, and it's very anecdotal, but I think that the second game of Texas A&M when Carl was managing was a good example of everything's what it needs to be, but he's still very antiquated in his thinking and his game management, like leaving pitchers in way too long and all that kind of stuff. He's not a he doesn't shift. He's not a particularly analytical guy. He's been a little bit more analytically bent the last couple of years, but he hasn't gone full on into it. And the game has changed in 2022 from what it was in 2002. So if you manage the same way, which Mike kind of does, that on its own puts you at a distinct disadvantage, even though all of your program, you have everything that you need. So I could get it if, like, you wanted to make a change to keep the program like it is operationally, but take a step in game to get over the hump of 8 Omaha advancement opportunities and finally busting through more than once. If that's what you want to do, there are some routes to take. But if you were saying, all right, we're going to make the change and go make the splash with Dan McDonald, the time to do that was July, last July. Now it just feels like a clunky, weird thing where everybody's in a holding pattern like, all right, well, what you going to do? It's a weird place. Yeah. It's a weird place.
I will say this. If Keith ultimately decides there needs to be a change, there will be no shortage of the top candidates in America.
No doubt.
To come in here and take over this program. So, you know, I mean, look, let's be honest. The next 2 weeks are going to be very interesting.
And the thing is, I still feel like this team has an opportunity to make a postseason run. I do. I feel like they've underachieved. I feel like they didn't have Kevin Graham for an extended stretch, and he's their best or second best hitter at worst. You know, there are things that you can say, well, this team's still, like before the year, they were number one at one point.
8 days ago, this team, excuse me, swept LSU and Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. I mean, this is a team, they can beat anybody. The question is, will they? And like I said, the next 2 weeks with Ole Miss baseball should be fascinating. It'll be very interesting.
Whose future is brighter, Ole Miss baseball or softball?
Well, I'll get to that. Okay. But let me say this. If there is a change, don't you think it'll happen swiftly? It will not be 2 weeks after the final game. It's going to happen quickly.
And the search is going to happen quickly, too. I think the search won't take but 2 days.
Yeah. Brighter future, softball or baseball?
Uh-huh.
Man, look, I'm going to tell you, it's softball.
I knew you were going to say
that. I mean, well, hold on. They're about to be playing in a brand new stadium. Brand new stadium.
God, they needed that so bad, man. So bad.
No, they definitely did. They definitely did. And, you know, people have just watched the regional out of UCLA. And you look at UCLA Stadium. Yeah, it's bigger than Ole Miss's, but nicer? No. The current stadium. But the thing of it is, and it's the same way with football, these West Coast facilities, look, it's all about what you value as a culture. In the South, where we're from, everybody's playing in cathedrals. Out West, just not that way. That's not what's important to them. And but if Ole Miss is going to continue to play in the SEC, which they are, you've got to have comparable facilities. And, you know, I think Jamie Traxel is a very, very good head coach. I've watched her manage very closely all year, and she does an incredible job. Riker Chasen, her pitching coach, is incredible too. I hope, and I'm not trying to start anything, but I hope Jamie's able to keep him because he's got an incredibly bright future. What he did with their pitching staff this year, they won 41 games. 41 games with a pitching staff that probably, I mean, would be 10th or below in the SEC if you want to rank them. And, you know, just amazing what they did. I mean, you know, yesterday wasn't so great. Obviously, they study matchups. They sent Anna Borgen out there. The problem with Anna is Anna needs kind of a loose strike zone. And, man, the strike zone was so tight yesterday. So she wasn't getting the corners that she normally gets, and UCLA took advantage of that. But I see nothing but big things. I mean, Jamie's got, I think, the number 5 recruiting class in the country coming in. She had a big recruiting year last year. I mean, it's all in place for them. Now, granted, they will be playing probably half or three quarters of their season at a high school field next year while this stadium is being finished up. But, yeah, I think the future is extremely bright for Ole Miss softball. I think it is.
It's wild to think about what we were talking about with Ole Miss baseball and softball last July to now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And that's not to shortchange Ole Miss baseball future.
No.
But, you know, we don't know what the future is going to be right now. No idea. We don't even know who's going to be coaching the Rebels next year. So, you know, do you go out and you get the right guy, or do you go out and get Pat Harrison, who decides he's only going to recruit California kids in here? How'd that work out? Not very good.
Yeah, it's way before me, apparently. I don't remember Pat Harrison.
You don't remember Pat Harrison? Uh-uh. Really?
I'm 36. When was Pat coaching?
Well, what, he was the guy Mike replaced, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I just don't remember it. That goes to show you, though, what Ole Miss baseball was before Mike, I guess.
Yeah? Yeah, it's dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Pat Harrison was at a booster event one time and basically told the Ole Miss people he wasn't going to recruit kids from Mississippi. He was going to California where the talent was.
How'd that work out for you, Pat?
Yep. I don't even know if – I hope Pat's still with us, but I don't know what he's doing
now. I don't
know
what he's doing now. I know Pat Harrison. I just never really followed Ole Miss baseball at that time. I was also, what, 10 years old? Come on.
Okay.
Mike Bianco has been at Ole Miss for 22 years.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Pat Harrison used to play Delta State every year. And they came to Cleveland to play Delta State. May have been Pat's last year. I remember Jude Volz was Ole Miss's first baseman. They came to Cleveland on a Saturday morning to play Delta State. And they lost with a 13-0 run-ruled butt-whooping. And that was the last time Ole Miss ever played Delta State in baseball.
Look at the fighting Eli Whitesides. I love it.
That's exactly right. Eli Whiteside was Delta State's catcher.
Uh-huh.
Went on to catch for the San Francisco Giants.
Former New Albanian. Eli Whiteside has a great catering company here in New Albany. Came back home.
Does he?
Yeah. Back home.
I didn't know Eli was back home. That's
back
great,
home in
man.
New Albany, yeah, with the catering business. Well, see, in New Albany, we only had a few of our guys go on and do some things in college. Eli Anding is a legend. Eli Whiteside is a legend.
Yeah.
So, yeah I guess it's just Eli's.
In Eli Whiteside, let me tell you, I have no idea how Ole Miss and Mississippi State missed on Eli.
I don't either.
I mean, my God.
Well, because Pat Harrison said he's going to California. Pat Harrison said he's going to California. That's why.
He did. He had the San Francisco Giants future catcher 20 miles from Oxford, and he went to California. But
kid would have crawled to Ole Miss. Would have crawled.
Oh,
instead, he goes to Cleveland.
Yeah. Goes to Cleveland, hits like 410 for his career. And
awesome.
Was the best defensive catcher I've ever seen. I mean, really, he was an incredible defensive
Shouts
catcher.
Shouts out to Eli Whiteside. All right, so in a couple of weeks, most likely baseball will be done too. At that point, what is there going to be for Ole Miss fans to really follow along in the deader months? Put your forecasting hat on.
Yeah, recruiting takes off, June 1st, and Ole Miss is going to have a series of camps, I think 7 in the month of June. And, of course, we're all going to be out there covering the heck out of that.
Woo!
And, getting these top prospects as they come in. And we're excited. Yeah.
Are we?
So June is going to be very recruiting heavy. Well, you and I have got something worked out. We're good.
There we go.
June is going to be very recruiting heavy. And we'll write a little bit about preseason football.
Are you going to do those ranking of the Rebels things that a lot of other places do?
No.
Okay.
No, that's top 100 Rebels.
Yeah, I'll make a promise to you, Ole Miss fan listening, I'm not going to do that. Dave's not either.
I'm not going to do that either, man, because it's lame. And
stop there. It's just lame.
And I mean, are you the 55th Rebel or are you the 68th Rebel? You know,
Who is number one though? If it was Matt Crowell, and Sam Williams is 1 and 2 last year. Who is 1 and 2 right now for David Johnson?
All right. We're just talking about on impact and things
Yeah, ranking the Rebels. This is what you do in the summer.
Ooh, man. Man, I'd probably right now tend to just off the hip go I'd probably
– Say it.
Man, that's hard.
I'd probably go
with Zach Evans, honestly. In my top five.
Yeah, for sure.
But probably Zach Evans.
Yeah, I like that. I saw a mock recently that had him in the back end of the first round. I think it was Pro Football Focus in the back end of the 2023 first round draft. But having said that, we both agree that running backs as a position are being devalued by the NFL. So I only think like one running back will go in the first round. It could be Zach. Point is that it really will probably be only a 1 year thing for him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, not only for him, but the way the trend's going, I mean, do you see Ulysses Bentley staying? Mm. I mean, he may go too.
That's right.
Mason Brooks obviously is gone. He only has 1 year to play. Trigg's got to stay for an extra year. So you got him for 2 years.
Dart too.
You've got Dart for two. Jordan Watkins will probably be gone. He'll be gone.
So most of these
transfer guys.
That's wild.
Yeah, they're only here for 1 year. And it really changes, I think, from a fan standpoint. You know, you never get to know these guys. They're here, they're gone.
But what do you value? Do you value wins or do you value, oh, he's one of my Ole Miss Rebels?
At the end
of the day, it's about winning games. I agree, because college football, what made college football great was feeling like you were a part of it, is the communal aspect of it. But now it's very much
Eli
big business
Manning
and wins.
Down for 5 years, you know? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And now it's very much of go win, go get the best players you can and win right now. Otherwise, no guarantees, no promises.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're starting to see that with the media too. It's hard to get to know these guys, right?
Yeah.
Because everything is in a prim and proper setting, and obviously the time we get to spend at practice has been greatly reduced,
which is fine. Here's where it's really hit me for the first time. This happened recently, and you'll love this. I haven't even told this to David. Usually I tell him everything. So Sam Williams gets drafted by the Cowboys. That is like a natural interview for me to do, right? And so I reached out to Sam. I DM'd him. I was like, hey, man, would you want to? And he's like, yeah, for sure. Well, I didn't hear from him again. So then I got somebody reach out to him for me, end up getting contacted by his agent who says, all right, how much can you pay? And I'm like, all right, well, see you later, Sam. Remember that Talk of Champions, was founded as a concept. It became just a different kind of podcast, but it was, let's get former players on every single show and deep dive into their background and who they are and all this kind of stuff. Now that's impossible. I couldn't do it. I'd be broke.
Oh my God.
Denzel Kim DG saying,
hey, horrifying.
I know. Now, how much can you pay?
That breaks my heart, man.
I don't blame him though. Don't do anything for free.
I'm going to reach out to Sam.
Oh, God.
I'm going to reach out to Sam today just to see.
See?
Because Sam and I were kind of boys a little bit. You know, I mean, you know, so I just want to see. I just want to
see. We'll see, because if you can get him, that'd be great.
I'll never forget. I mean, I interviewed Sam all the time when he was in JUCO, and I remember interviewing him. On his way to Ole Miss, he had stopped at a gas station somewhere in Alabama, and he was putting gas in his truck, and somebody came wheeling in like they almost hit him or something is what it sounded like on the phone. And anyway, some colorful conversation ensued afterwards, but yeah, Sam's my boy, man. If I get contacted by an agent, my heart's going to break.
Well, I want to say
that would be terrible.
I'm not knocking it at all. Go get your money, young fella. You've earned it. Awesome. It's the culture has changed, which is totally okay. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Sam Williams doesn't owe me a dang thing. Point is that old days, you'd be like, hey, Mike Hilton, you just got drafted literally yesterday or undrafted. He just signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Steelers. Or Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace was a second round draft selection of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was so close with Mike. The minute he got drafted, now I'm talking 5 minutes after he got drafted, we were on the phone together and I was writing something about it. Right? It's just not like that anymore, which is fine. It just shows you that, you know, if you're a college football fan and these are your rebels for 5 years. No, it's a business, man. It's very much a business. So, like, let's just drop the facade of amateurism and stuff like that and accept it for you want them to win first and foremost. Well, now it literally is all about winning. That's it. Period. That's it. It's wins.
It's just like after Pro Day this year and the media waiting 3 hours on Matt Corral. Yeah,
exactly.
And then he didn't come.
Which is fine. They don't know it's Dick. They don't know it's a thing. But it's different.
Yes, that's unfortunate, though.
No, I want you to reach out to Sam. You'll be so fun. I so hope he responds to you and gives you a great interview. I really do. I don't mean to be like sounding snippy or anything. I hope he gives you a great interview because you'll just know that, no, Ben, the culture hasn't changed. He just didn't want to talk to you, and I don't blame him. I really don't blame him, you know?
Well, Sam, I really don't care to interview Sam right now, but...
No, you've got to do it, though.
I just want to see...
You have to do it. Yeah. You have to do it for me. Just find out if you get the agent.
Yeah, I'm gonna DM him on Twitter and find out he's blocked.
Yeah.
See what happens with that. But,
yeah. Well, here's the thing, anyway, though, with Sam. Here's the deal with Sam. It's like I reached out to him on Twitter, and he responded. And then, yeah, I'd be happy to. And then the next communication was his agent saying, all right, how much? No, well, have a good career with the cat with my favorite team. Anyway, this has been another crossover podcast. I am now going to go pack my bag and get the hell out of Dodge. He's David Johnson. I'm at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, own3.com. He writes for Inside the Rebels 247 Sports at Rebels 247. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review, Talk of Champions in iTunes. And when you do, leave a 5-star review. It doesn't matter what you say, as long as it's 5 stars. This podcast can be found wherever you get your podcast. Just simply search Talk of Champions. Thank you, buddy.
Howdy, toddy, everybody. Ben, you have a great trip.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.